Today we begin the second week after the Epiphany. These Sundays numbered from the Feast of the Epiphany that stretch until the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday. And you may know that Epiphany is from a Greek word meaning to be made manifest, to show forth. It is that season when we particularly pay attention to and contemplate God revealed in Jesus, God made manifest in the person of Jesus. It is that chance following on our celebration of Christmas to ask that question, who is Jesus, that one born of Mary? Our gospel this morning is both an expression of an epiphany of who Jesus is, as well as the call of the first disciples. It comes at the end of that first chapter of John, that chapter that opens with a beautiful prologue, "In the beginning was the Word." That eternal Word present at creation, that Word spoken at creation, which brings forth all that is, that Word that pronounces everything created to be good, that Word is revealed in the person of Jesus, the eternal Word coming among us, putting on human flesh. In our gospel today, we hear several titles for Jesus used, ways that Jesus is made manifest in today's passage. We hear that Jesus is the one Moses and the prophets wrote about. We hear Jesus called the Son of God. We hear Jesus is the King of Israel. We also see in our gospel how not everyone understands that, at least initially. And certainly we see throughout the gospel record, not everyone understands that, some ever. And we know that today some don't know who Jesus is. In our story today, we have as a focus Nathanael, who is the one who at first cannot see Jesus as Jesus is. But Philip invites him and says, well, come and see. Nathanael is sure that nothing good can come from Nazareth. After all, Nazareth is that tiny little village, maybe between 200 and 4 people live there. It's in Galilee. There's nothing significant about that place. And so Nathanael makes assumptions about who Jesus is based on where he comes from, based on his hometown. Like so many of the Gospels, he thinks he can have that initial impression and understand the fullness of who Jesus is. He can base those on observable facts of those ordinary things, the unremarkable place that Jesus is from. But Nathanael finds that there's more to Jesus than he first thinks. In fact, he has an epiphany. His eyes are open to see who Jesus is, and he himself calls Jesus the Son of God. And Jesus basically says, you think that's great, you wait. Because not only today are you seeing Jesus as the Son of God, but he tells Nathanael he will see greater things than this. He will in fact see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of God. That in Jesus, God is revealed. Nathanael can see God's face. That earth and heaven are united. That Jesus is that eternal Word come into this world to lift this world to divinity, to eternity. And so Nathanael has that epiphany, that experience of God revealed, of God made manifest to him. And that changes him. And that changes his life in dramatic ways, for he follows. He leaves everything behind, just as Philip did, the one who brought Nathanael to Jesus. He does so just as a few verses before today's passage we hear that Andrew does. And Andrew not only follows, but Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter. They all have some experience of Jesus that changes them and that alters permanently the course of their lives. One of the things that's striking about Nathanael's transformation is the fact that he begins with some kind of doubt and questioning. He can't believe that in the person of Jesus, this one from Nazareth, can be found anything very interesting. But he moves from that point to understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. That first encounter changes him. Nathanael is changed just by the greeting of Jesus. Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He experiences Jesus in a really profound and deep way. And that way is that Jesus comes to him just where Nathanael is, in just the way that Nathanael needs to hear. And so Jesus comes and knows him. Jesus recognizes who he is, perhaps for the first time, perhaps in ways that Nathanael himself doesn't know himself. And Jesus sees in him one who is without conceit, or other translations say, without guile. Jesus sees him as one who is sincere, who has integrity, who has authenticity. And in that experience of being deeply known by Jesus, Nathanael comes to see that there's more to Jesus than he first thought, that he was wrong in that initial assessment. He is so changed by Jesus and Jesus knowing him that he is able to become a follower, a disciple. So Nathanael's call today reminds us that Epiphany calls us to open our hearts and our minds, to see God is revealed, to dare to let go of our assumptions, of the things we think we know, and instead to see with fresh eyes, to be open to see who Jesus is, and then allow ourselves to be changed, to be formed into disciples, into ones who give up everything to follow Jesus. Jesus ultimately is calling us to live by love, to walk in that compassionate light of God, the God who knows us truly as we are, the God who created us to be the people we are. Jesus invites us to let that light of God shine on us and to open us to Jesus, that we allow ourselves to be seen and known as we really are, letting go of the things we try to hide, letting go of whatever posturing we might have, not worrying about those places that we rather God not know about, for God already does. But to trust that Jesus sees us by that light of love, that light of compassion, and knows us as we are, as beloved children of God, as those who are pronounced good by God, and then calls us to walk by that same light of God, that we see others in that light. By that light that we can see the belovedness of other people, that by that light we can see God at work in us, in the world, that we can see heaven opened, the divine breaking into this world. Now, I stand here and say all this, and I'm not going to pretend this is always easy or clear, that we always know how to do this. In fact, we can miss God's revelation. We cannot see God's light shining around us. We can miss God breaking into our lives. We can miss God's call to us. And we have such a clear example of that, at first at least, in our lesson from Samuel, where Samuel is a boy, his life has been dedicated to God, and he lives in the temple with the priest Eli, and he's sleeping, and he hears this voice calling him. And twice he thinks it is the priest Eli who's calling him, but Eli realizes something's going on. I'm not calling. Samuel's being awakened by a voice. This must be the Lord. And so Samuel, the last time, says, "Here I am." And sure enough, it is God calling. And Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And that profoundly changes the course of Samuel's life. First, he has to go to Eli and say some very hard things to Eli, who says, "God is God, let God's will be done." But then Samuel is set on a course of being called by God to be a prophet. The rest of his life is altered as he goes out into the world to proclaim the word of God to the people, often to people in power and saying very difficult things. God calls, he eventually hears, and his life is changed and he follows. And so we can miss in our own lives God calling us. We can misunderstand who is calling us. Or we can even not understand what we are being called to do. But I think this lesson offers hope that God keeps calling. As often as we need to hear, as often as we need God to call so we can understand. So God comes to us in the dark of night, either the literal darkness or the metaphorical, coming to us, calling us, until we can understand and are ready to accept. For God's call will not be frustrated, and God will accomplish God's purposes in each of us through the vocations, the ministries to which God is calling us, those ministries and vocations that God has equipped us to undertake through the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the heart of all our vocations, I think, is that call from God to walk in the light of Christ, to have our eyes opened by that light, that we might see as God sees, that we might see the belovedness of all people, that we might have God's light illuminate the places of injustice and oppression in our world, that we might have that light of God illumine our hearts and minds, that we understand that all are called to wholeness of life by God, to live lives free from whatever limits and diminishes personhood. And we are called to allow ourselves to be changed, that we allow Jesus to look upon us with love, knowing us as we fully are, and being changed by that experience, and then going forth to make Jesus known and inviting others to come and see. In the Book of Common Prayer, at the very back in the historical documents and in the other things that are at the very end of the prayer book, is the catechism, the outline of the faith. And I have to confess, I love the catechism. It offers in that traditional format questions and answers which help explain who we are and what our call is from God. And if you look in the catechism on page 855, is the question, what is the mission of the church? And the answer is, the mission of the church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. The heart of our vocation as followers of Jesus is the work of reconciliation, of bringing people together, of being agents of healing, that whatever divides and alienates may be overcome. Now, reconciliation in our age seems a distant hope, something we long for, as we live in a nation that is so divided and so polarized. And I find this especially true for myself when I look at the horrors and evils of racism that afflict our society, of the ways in which white supremacy is built into who we are as a nation. For we are a nation with much unfinished work based on that experience of being founded on the back of slavery. We are a nation divided to this day by race, and sadly, even in our own neighborhood. And we live in a nation where some deny racism exists, where racial slurs and racial hatred are expressed, even by politicians. And that is met by some with silence or denying it happened. So we live in a nation which is so polarized around race, so alienated from one another. And our call is to be agents of healing and of God's reconciliation. I can't help but think of this on this weekend when tomorrow we commemorate the holiday dedicated to Dr. Martin Luther King. Or as we look forward to April when we commemorate the 50th anniversary of his assassination. Among the many things that Dr. King talked about is he talked of the triple evils of poverty, racism, and militarism, and their interconnectedness and the violence that they cause against people. About racism, he offered these words I want to share with you today. Racism is a philosophy based on a contempt for life. It is the arrogant assertion that one race is the center of value and object of devotion, before which other races must kneel in submission. It is the absurd dogma that one race is responsible for all the progress of history and alone can assure the progress of the future. Racism is total estrangement. It separates not only bodies but minds and spirits. Inevitably, it descends to inflicting spiritual and physical homicide upon the out-group. Our call as followers of Jesus is to walk by that light of Christ, that light which calls us to rise above our divisions and our prejudices, to walk by that light, seeing people as they truly are, as God has created all to be, as beloved children of God, and to love all as Jesus loves. We are called to work without ceasing for justice for all people, that we are agents of God's reconciliation, that we are working to heal all the divides and alienates us from one another. And so during this season, after the Epiphany, that time when we specially pay attention to the revelation of God in the world, may we seek to hear and to see how God is made manifest in us and around us. And may we be changed by being seen and known by God, that we are people who live by the light of Christ, that we do that hard work of following Jesus, that work that's all about loving God and our neighbor as ourselves. Through our lives, through our witness, may God be known in our world, a world that is so divided. And may God's love always be reflected by us, that all may come to know and worship God revealed in Jesus, and that all may come to accept that divine life that Jesus comes to offer to all people. Amen.